When did the Men in Black start appearing? When was it recorded that they were even showing up?
Well, you know, I mean, things kicked off in 47 with the sort of modern era of flying saucers and UFOs with the Kenneth Arnold case, then Roswell. You know, we had a number of high-profile cases in the late 40s and early 50s, sort of culminating with the famous overflights of Washington, D.C. in the summer of 1952. And there were one or two reports that conceivably could have fallen into MIB-type categories in the late 40s, but it was really in the early part of the early 1950s when things really began to take off big time and people in the UFO field recognized that there was a genuine phenomenon. And this largely, if not almost exclusively, began with a man named Albert Bender. Albert Bender was living in Bridgeport, Connecticut in the early 1950s, and he had an interest in UFOs and also in the paranormal, supernatural, mm-hmm. both in the world of fact and fiction. You know, he's sort of heavily into gothic horror novels and that sort of thing too. And Bender set up an organization called the International Flying Saucer Bureau. And, you know, it was like one of many UFO groups across the country established in that period by members of the public. And I suspect that the group probably went far further in its influence and scope than even Bender himself suspected. Within no time at all, it really captured people's imagination, and subscriptions came flooding in from all across the United States. You know, people wanted to find out more. There even chapters set up in Australia and England. So actually gathered like a worldwide network. And it became a very much of a surprise and a shock to its members when not too long afterwards, Bender immediately just shut the organization down and alluded to having been silenced by three guys in black suits, who reportedly visited his home, told him that he was getting too close to the truth about UFOs, and if he knew what was good for him, it would be time to leave the UFO subject right now, which is what Bender basically did. He only surfaced once more to write a book in 1962 called Flying Saucers and the Three Men, which kind of outlined further his experiences.
But that's pretty unusual, Nick, isn't it, for him to just back off all of a sudden like that?
Well, that's right. I mean, some people wondered if it was like a publicity campaign to try and further, you know, publicity for the IFSB. That proved not to be the case at all because, as I said, Bender just closed the group down and walked away. And, you know, we have had people in the past who've, you know, been big players in ufology and then they've left and then they've returned afterwards and left and returned again. Bender didn't do that. He just came out the shadows once, as I said, in 1962, to sort of essentially say, look, this is what happened, and wrote the book to lay the story to rest, and then just went away and just would not have anything to do with the UFO subjects ever again. So I think there's little doubt in my mind, in fact, no doubt, that Bender did have a very traumatic experience and that he received some sort of visitation. Now, a couple of years after Bender closed the IFSB down, a researcher named Gray Barker, who lived in West Virginia, wrote a book called They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers, which essentially, in part, told the story of Bender and the visit from these three mystery men. In Barker's book, they're kind of described, although it's not specifically said, they are described, or the inference is that they're government people, you know, from like the Air Force, the CIA, and the FBI. The rumors were that they were possibly one from representative from each agency, and basically saying, look, you know, get out this subject. We've got enough on our plates without members of the public meddling in areas they shouldn't be meddling. However, when Bender surfaced in 62 with his own version of events, the Men in Black don't sound anything like government agents. In fact, they sound completely the opposite. He described them as almost being like paranormal entities. He talks about how he would go out on a Saturday night to the cinema. This is when he was in the early stages of setting the IFSB up. And he would see these, like, shadowy, wraith-like, black-garbed characters with glowing eyes that would literally sort of manifest and vanish in front of him. And he began experiencing poltergeist activity in the house. These shadowy figures would manifest in the upper room where he was living. And essentially, he would feel himself like entering into an altered state of mind. And then the Men in Black would appear. So in other words, although, you know, Hollywood has portrayed the Men in Black as definitive government agents, right, the early years of ufology painted them as something very different. It was only later on that, you know, they became just almost like exclusively associated with the government, when the reality was, you know, they came across almost like modern-day vampires or something like that when you read Bender's version of accounts.
Well, that's right. They come across as being very cold-looking, very gray, very pasty-looking, mm-hmm. Black eyes, almost no personality at all, yeah. Almost like zombies, right?
Yeah, it's actually a very good way of putting it. I mean, a lot of the witnesses describe these stranger MIB as sort of pale, almost to the point of, you know, looking white, you know, as if they've got some sort of blood disorder or whatever, you know, or anemia or something like that, or anorexia. They don't seem overly conversant with our customs and modes of talking and fashions. The clothes always seem slightly out of date. You know, yeah, they've got the black suits, which plenty of people wear black suits today. But even today's MIB reports, they wear the old fedora-type hats, you know, from the 40s and 50s, which mm-hmm. you don't really see many of today, but they still wear them. They don't seem aware of our basic customs. They seem to falter when they're talking to us. And many of them actually, the witnesses describe them as having bulging eyes, with one witness quite accurately said they had like thyroid eyes, and they were sort of hiding them behind these wraparound sunglasses. Many of them are extremely short, like 5 feet to 5 feet two or three, which, you know, is short for a man. So, you know, this has obviously led to sort of a lot of speculation as to who are these men in black? You know, what is the difference between these MIB and the government MIB? Is there a connection, or are they two separate groups, not possibly even working in tandem with each other? And, you know, this is where it gets into sort of really sort of convoluted and complicated areas when you're trying to figure out, you know, the agenda of this group versus that group, when they all kind of look similar, and to a degree at least, it's kind of blend in with each other as well.
Nick, did witnesses explain what the men in black wanted? What were they trying to do?
Well, I mean, it seems more than anything else that the whole goal of the meetings, if you like, is intimidation. Now, there are actually very few, very, very few reports where people have said, you know, the MIB threatened them with death or killing them, or, you know, said you'll have a mysterious car accident if you don't get out the subject. It's more like a veiled threat where you're forced to sort of put the dots together, you know, and figure out the answer. But the inference is there that, you know, if you don't leave the subject alone, something bad will happen. But it's never explicitly said, you know, in sort of really stark terms. But it nevertheless, you know, it does instill that feeling and that idea in the witness. And it seems to be the case that, you know, sort of outright, as I said, murder or whatever isn't part of the agenda, but sort of scaring the life out of the person is, you know, whoever the MIB are, that's always the approach they take.